Blog Talk Radio.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I just brace and I take in the face of adversity. Facing this certainty, the brakes ain't hurting me. Gain on, a bomb, my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong. Be patient, meet them head to head. I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stopping, have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose.
Eastern time. I'm up here in Maine, originally born in Boston, Massachusetts. I'll always be a Boston girl, so that goes out to my Boston peeps. And today I would like to talk about a film made in Boston starring Ethan Embry. Actually, they're having a special premiere, the short film, tomorrow, and I'm hoping to have some guests on here. There is a guest on, actually called in just now, but I just wanted to bring up and just say quickly what the film is about. I'm just going to bring that up, and then I'm going to bring a guest on the air. What Ordinary Man is a father-son journey. A tow truck driver, Jason Moss, is barely making ends meet. So when an opportunity to work overtime presents itself, he has no choice but to take it. Not wanting to disappoint his son, Chris, Jason takes him along for a Saturday spent in a tow truck. Chris is an amazing 8-year-old that loves superheroes, but which is his favorite? Hulk, Iron Man, Superman, all good. But Chris can find a flaw in each. When his day with Jason turns deadly, Chris finds out exactly whom the best superhero is. The running time is 14 minutes, but believe me, I think there's a lot of heart and soul that has gone into this short film. Let's see if the call is still on the air. Let me bring this person on. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Shelly. It's Amy DePaula. How are you?
I'm doing good, and welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so excited that you were able to call in with your very busy schedule.
Thank you, thank you. I'm happy to be here as well.
and even
Boston,
if you're just on for a few minutes, I mean, whatever time you give me just to talk a little bit about the film and how it all came together, I usually let people talk. And I just, I'm just personally very excited about this because I know some people that are actually in the film and a lot of Boston people in it. So I got to give you guys props. And I know a lot of people have a lot of heart and soul in this film. And can you tell me about it and how it all came together for me?
Absolutely. So Ordinary Man is the collaboration between myself, which is Greenview Entertainment, Michael Yeba, the writer-director of Bosstown Entertainment, and Michael Quill of Quill Productions, who is our director of photography. And in short, Michael and I, Michael Yeba and I met last March and literally just started getting together to sit down and have coffee to talk about the industry because, as you can probably imagine, although Boston does have, you know, its few claims to fame in the film and entertainment world, we're still competing with New York and L.A. Now, I'm originally from New York, so I've been trying to find a community to work with. And from talking to Michael just all last spring and early summer, it was like, well, let's do something about it. So Ordinary Man came about. Michael had gone through a draft on the script, and he really wanted to work on this script in particular because, you know, it was a father-friendly film. Mike is a father of, I believe he has 5 children. He loves all of his children. They're very important to him. So I believe that this film for him represents a lot of that fatherly love. And we brought in a lot of people from the Boston area that were going to also contribute to the film, which in particular is a man named Brian Scannell. And Brian was a Southie native. He was featured in the show Brotherhood on Showtime. And because of that, was very close with Ethan Embry, which is how we made our way to Ethan. Ethan has a love for this area. He was also on Brotherhood, as I just mentioned. So he was thrilled to come back to Boston. We started assembling the crew. We literally took 5 weeks for pre-production, which is kind of crazy for a film of this caliber. We shot on a camera called the Red One, which at the time was the hot new camera to shoot on. The Red line has expanded now since technology moves so quickly these days. And we went into shoots over a 4-day weekend, and we shot for 16, 17 hours a day, and the crew was just adamant about it. And at the end of the shoot, everyone was tired, but everyone was also like, oh, we have to leave each other now, which is kind of what happens to intending crews in the area. And of course, Jay Gioni was also in the film, and he's done an amazing job on the that man, and his PR skills are just beyond me.
He's just like, I was like, I'll let you talk more about the film since you brought him up. I'm just, for me personally, I'm so excited. When someone mentions Jay, my heart just races because I consider him like a brother, and it's someone I want to work with, and I really want to know, since I have you on here live on the air, how was it to work with Jay?
Working with Jay is a blast. That man is your quintessential, like, Hollywood kid, and I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Talking with him about the business, he really knows what he's doing. He makes moves for himself. He's great at networking. It's truly admirable. And he's also very accessible and honest and open. And, you know, as a colleague, it's very easy for me to be like, oh, let me just give Jay a call. And I know that, you know, he'll pick up and he'll listen to me and he'll tell me what he thinks. And that's amazing because he's doing so well this year. He has Safe with Jason Statham, which is about to go on DVD, I know. And then The Iceman, which got into the Venice Film Festival and the Toronto Film Festival with, like, James Franco and Ray Liotta. I mean, I'm really, really happy for him. I think that he's going to have a wonderful 2013. Not that 2012 hasn't been wonderful for him.
Yeah.
And he will be in attendance on tomorrow night, so I'm looking forward to seeing him.
I'm just going to ask you, you have to give him a hug for me, saying, when you give him a special hug, I know you're probably going to get tons of hugs, but can you give him a hug, say, this is from Shelly Nunchucks, and I just appreciate that because I keep missing these events, and it's like I'm up here in Maine doing films and stuff that I've been working on and dedicated to something, and I've been invited to all these events, and I wish I could be there so much tomorrow night, but it's like, you know, when you're working on something, I know you understand. It's like you have to put your heart in it, and you make sacrifices. And believe me, if I was still living in Boston, I'd be there tomorrow night. I'd be so psyched for the film. I'd be jumping up, probably in the seats watching your film, and I was like, I give you guys a lot of props because independent filming, you know, it's like you have to get the money yourself. You're not like big-time Hollywood. It's like you work twice as hard, and anybody that does stunts, and I know Jay does his own stunts, looking at the picture on the site for The Ordinary Man, just to do that stuff besides acting, it's a lot of hard work, and I'm pretty sure you guys put a lot of heart and soul into it, and that's why I hope somehow if, like, I can view it some way. I don't know if it'll be on Netflix or DVD. I would love to see it sometime.
Oh, absolutely. I don't mind sending you a link to it at all. Unfortunately, we're not going to be putting it up online just yet because we have to follow rules for a lot of the film festivals that we're submitting to, which we actually, we just got into the Massachusetts Independent Film Festival, so that's our first official festival that we've been accepted to, which is exciting because we are working with the Mass Indie Film Festival right now to raise funds for a young filmmaker's scholarship fund in Michael's name to give to a local age college student, which tomorrow night is also going to function as a small fundraiser. You know, college students and filmmaking in general, just as you were saying, is super expensive, and you do have to raise the funds yourself. And even though a lot of these students in the area are paying to go to film school, they still have to pay additional money to make their films. And I know firsthand from producing Ordinary Man how incredibly expensive, and a lot of people don't think you have to consider every single penny down to the AA batteries that you might need extra of, or you have a crew member that is lactose intolerant. You have to make sure that there's soy milk on set every day. And, you know, just those little, little tiny things that add up.
Yeah, and you guys, when I see all your work, you guys give me a lot of inspiration. When I see something, and believe me, I'm not, like, really a chick flick type of girl. When I saw some of the pictures, I was like, ooh, that got me attention. You know, just Jay, like, and even seeing the trailer, there was a teaser trailer. And I've been trying to promote this on my Facebook. When I see something that gets my attention, I repeat it over and over again because I really, that's the stuff that I love. And what takes it to my heart is there's a little boy that's in it, and it's actually a Salvatore Santone, and I've always wanted to work with him. And would you be able to tell me about how he was on set?
Salvatore was awesome on set as well. He is so mature for his age, it's ridiculous. He's had a lot of experience too. He was in a film, The Proposal, with Sandra Bullock and oh, my goodness, why is his Ryan Reynolds? I love Ryan Reynolds, but the name slipped my mind for a second. And he, you know, he just, he was patient. He played a joke, actually, on us that I'd love to share. It was our fourth day of shooting. It was the first day that we were all finally outside. We had left the house that we were shooting in Hingham, which kind of, I think, you know, after 3 days of shooting the same kind of sequence over and over again, it gets a little daunting. So everyone was really relieved to be outside in the sunlight back in Boston. We were shooting at the Tasty Burger restaurant over by Fenway Park on Boylston. And we were taking a break for lunch. And I think Ethan kind of tipped off Sal on this one. But Sal grabbed his soda and threw it on the ground and said, I can't work in these conditions, and stormed off to the other side of the parking lot. And coming from this, you know, tiny human being who is, like, all of, like, 4 feet tall, it was just one of those moments where everyone just lost it. And it was a really good trick to pull at, like, the very end of the shoot. But, yeah, he amazes me. Like, he's just so patient. He didn't complain. A lot of our shots did take a long time because we had fight coordination going on. We had a lot of different camera movements that we were working with, and, you know, him and his mother, Michelle Santone, are just absolutely in it to be a part of the entire experience. They don't get worked up about anything, being very particular, very easygoing, and he's really knowledgeable about the Jersey Shore, which actually is something sort of, but...
So can you talk about any of the other actors? How was it working with them and the cast and crew on the set?
Sure. So the film also features Ramiro Torres, who is a radio personality down here in Boston. He is on Jammin' 94.5 Romero and Pebbles in the Morning. This was his first acting experience. He did an awesome job. He was super excited, and, of course, him being on the radio gave us so much more promotion here in Boston. People were talking about us left and right, and, you know, this is a short film project, which I find that to be really rare to get that much publicity on it, but the point of it was that everyone was excited that they knew that our team is going to be up to something in this area for a long time to come. This isn't just going to be the first project you see from us. We also had a young actress by the name of Paige Turcotte, who is a local girl. She has since moved to Los Angeles. She is so talented, so beautiful, and she let us kick the crap out of her because she does have a couple of scenes in which she gets beat up. And then Brian S. Goodman, Ryan Sills Lee, they were part of our bad guy crew. They also let us take them and beat them up a little bit.
I love it.
They were all, you know, everyone was just super excited to be there. Who else can I talk about that was in the film? Oh, I was in the film. But
okay, what did you do? Did you actually have a part? Or?
I did. I am an actor by nature. I started producing to support my acting career, and truth be told, I was not supposed to be in the film originally. Michael had mentioned, like, here and there if I wanted to, but I had felt that this was such an undertaking to produce that I didn't want to jeopardize the quality of the film by also being an actor and taking, you know, some focus and attention away from my set while I was being vain in front of the camera. And what happened was we had an actress cast. She is the daughter of a very famous actor, and she lives down in New York. We were shooting during Hurricane Irene, ended up coming into town. And she was no longer able to make the journey from New York to Boston. So we had already started rolling tape, and the part was to play Ethan Embry's wife and Salvatore Santone's mother in the film. Ethan, it has red hair. I have reddish hair, and Sal has, like, dark Italian hair. And I am Italian, so it's kind of rare that I'm a redheaded Italian. But Michael looked at me and asked me if I could dye my hair and play the part. So I literally left set at, like, 9:30 at night. I went to go work at the restaurant that I was pulling shifts at during this particular time period. I woke up at, like, 7 a.m. on 3 hours of sleep, dyed my hair dark brown, and headed to set and filled in for our missing actress, and got to work in a scene with Ethan, which was thrilling for me because I grew up watching him in all of his films.
Wait a minute. I did see you in the teaser. I didn't know that was you because it was like, I don't know who was who, and I was like, wait a minute. You said something about, I think, a toaster oven. There was some sort of line you guys were sitting at the table. Okay, because, all right, that's you. Okay, because I was like,
yeah, that's
what? I was like, it was just brought up because it shows the whole thing, and it sounds like, I don't know if AC/DC, there's a song playing, I could be wrong, and it's going through the whole teaser trail, and then that's the moment that, you know, that little funny moment at the end, and the guy's just like, okay, and it's like, yep, that's the typical wife, and I was like, I don't know who that is, and it was like, here I am, I've been emailing back and forth to you, and it's kind of funny because I've been away from, like, TV. I only get, like, Netflix because I've gave up TV for my dream and stuff and to put everything focused in my film. So I've kind of lost touch with all the new people, unless they're action. I mean, that's the type of field I'm in. And I'm like, when people mention names, it's like, I'm sorry, like, you know, I apologize. I don't know some people. And I'm trying to let it go, okay, then that's you on the scene, and I did see you. So I'm like, well, I know who you are now.
Yep, that's me. Dark hair version of me. I'm back to my natural red color, finally. Took a couple of months, but I'm here. So that rounds out our cast right there. And, oh my goodness, I'm forgetting two very important people. I'm so sorry. Brian Scannell, as I mentioned earlier, who was a producer, was also an integral part of the storyline. He plays the detective in the film, and he has a really powerful scene with a local actress, Laura Putnam, who this was actually her first role, and I'm amazed at that because she really pulled her soul out. She had a very difficult scene in which she had to describe a horrible incident with her youngest son. So she has since done a lot of work in the area. She's in commercials. She's flying back and forth from LA. I think you'll find in a year or so that you'll be seeing Laura elsewhere.
Oh, wow. So you got really a lot of great talent there and people that have been known throughout the whole, you know, indie business and beyond. So it's kind of like a blessing that you were able to do this. And, you know, I really hope that it goes off well tomorrow night. And if you want, you can also talk a little bit about that. I mean, I don't know if all the tickets are sold or something, because I saw something on Facebook. And if you want to do a little promotion for the film tomorrow night, go right ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. So Ordinary Man is premiering at the Greatest Bar on French Street in Boston, Massachusetts tomorrow evening. The evening is going to support the Michael C. Yeba Young Filmmakers Scholarship Fund, which will be awarded to a college-age student here in the Boston area during the Massachusetts Independent Film Festival at the end of September. We're uber excited for the cast and the crew who can make it out to get together again and see the final product. I'm also excited to show my friends and family what we've been working on, and of course the fans, the many fans that we've had for the last year to get to this point. So if you are in the Boston area tomorrow, just come to the Greatest Bar. Please be sure to shoot an email to info@greenviewentertainment.com to RSVP, and we look forward to seeing you. There will be food, drinks, mingling, a short film, a couple previews of other films, and tons of people from the Boston entertainment industry. So I wouldn't want to miss it. Music by DJ Deadeye, who is our good friend Flame's tour DJ that is giving us his time to come down and make sure that we have a good time.
Oh, that is so awesome. I mean, I wish I could be down there. I miss these things. I miss going to the events because the films, when I see them, they give me a lot of heart and inspiration. I just wish I was still in Boston. I'd be there tomorrow night. I'm like, you know, I'm so happy for people back in Boston connecting. And I try to stay in touch and try to see people's films, you know, even though I'm not there. I just want you to know my heart will be in the right place. And when you just mentioned Slain. Now, he worked, I think, in Gone Baby Gone. He's also a rapper, so he's been in the business for quite a while, too.
He has. Slane's credits include Gone Baby Gone, The Town. He recently wrapped a film that's coming out, I believe, this winter called Coogan's Trade, which is also with Ray Liotta, Brad Pitt, and who else is in the film? Anyways, he's done a very well this year with his hip-hop career. He just finished touring with La Coca Nostra. They had a show last night, actually, at the Middle East in Boston. And he's a good and dear friend of Michael's and ours. We recently wrapped another film with him that we shot at the beginning of the summer called The Day After the Company Party. I've worked with him on a series called 617 that I produced. He was originally supposed to be an Ordinary Man, but due to his Uber schedule, which is just jam-packed, he was unable to join us. But he is actually featured as a background extra in one of our scenes. So he's a blast, and he's super supportive. Some of his music's featured in the film. We're always happy to have him, and he's always happy to help us out. So Flame will be there tomorrow.
That's real sweet. I just, you know, when I hear stuff like this and people will be able to do, you know, their films and such, it gives inspiration to others because, you know, as we get older, you know, and I'm like, I'm a lot older than most people think I am, and I'm 41, and the things, you know, I always talk on the show about my big dream of working with Jackie Chan. That's the person I want to work with. And I'd like you to give some, I don't know if you can say advice to anybody out there that has a dream. What would you tell them? Because a lot of people, I think, they have a lot of negativity around them, and people tell them, you know, if it's into getting into films, acting, even independent films, what would you tell someone that was really down on their luck and stuff? What would you say to inspire them to keep them going?
Absolutely. You know, I'm glad that you used the example of the negative energy that surrounds everyone. I am a huge cheerleader for staying positive and for projecting positive thoughts about yourself. I truly think that is extremely effective in getting where you want to go. I have been saying for years, you know, I am an actress and I'm a producer. I'm an actress and I'm a producer. And, you know, when I first started saying that sentence, I myself didn't even really believe it. But then I kept saying it out loud to people. And I kept saying it. And now, you know, 5 years later, I sit here and I am undoubtedly an actress and a producer. And I encourage everyone to just keep those positive sentences, those affirmations coming out of their mouth and just talking to people like I did with Mike Yeba, just finding somebody that you can connect with to sit down and talk about it, what you want to accomplish. And, you know, you are going to have some complaints along the way, and that's fine, but just to remember what, like, the goal is and how to stay focused. And I truly think that the only way you're going to do that is verbalize it, make it real for yourself, and stay positive.
And it seems like I keep connecting with people, and it's like, even if on the internet, like people like yourself, you inspire me, and I'm pretty sure, even though this is on the air live now, it's archived, so people can listen to it anytime they want. And it's something where, you know, I hope, like, us coming together, even just for this moment in time, and if there's someone listening out there and they feel down and look, I hope they do hear it, and we help to inspire others, because everybody is great in their own way. And no matter what it is, if they're a musician, an artist, whatever, they should have be given a chance just like anybody else in the world. Because, you know, I mean, that's what I believe in. And, you know, it doesn't matter where you come from. You just have to work. And that's one of the things a lot of people told me. It says it's not impossible to do anything. You have to do the work to get to where you want to be in life. And it seems like that's where you are right now. And part of your success is that film tomorrow night. And I wish you guys so much happiness. I hope it's a fun time tomorrow night. And is there anything else, I mean, that you want to talk about the film? I mean, how did you get into acting and such? I mean, what motivated you? Did you have any inspirations? I mean, what got you into the business?
I think about that a lot, too. What got me, I was a child actor. My mother and my father, well, my mother more so than my father, my mother kind of got me into the audition rooms. I love being in front of people. I love public speaking. I love performing. I love hosting. And my father and I spent a lot of time watching movies. I mean, my whole childhood was watching movies with my dad. So I've kind of always had just sort of this, like, love, and I had this early, you know, mold that I was leaning on as I grew up. Kind of teetered off when I went to college. I didn't focus too much in the acting world until my junior and senior year. I was in school in the Bronx, and I would take the train down into Manhattan and take classes and dance classes and trying to figure out, you know, what I wanted to do, because I felt that there was something missing. I then took a job after college in the public relations world and found myself reading backstage more than I was actually doing work. So I decided to leave and go to the New York Film Academy and sort of test the waters on to whether or not this was a career that I wanted to get back into. I did their acting for film program, and then while I was there, I was hooked again. I was taking classes at the Atlantic Theater Company. I was studying with Kristen Johnston privately. I was moving, you know, all around the island of Manhattan, going to workshops, classes, audition techniques, and I think what started to really inspire me were the individual female filmmakers that I now want to be like, such as Adrienne Shelley and Jen Westfeld. And that's kind of what has kept me going over the last few years, is that, you know, as an actor, I don't chase down auditions as much as some actors do. And that's because I have a different sort of vision. I want to be able to write, star, produce in my own projects, and whether there's two of them my whole life or there's 10 of them, you know, it doesn't matter to me. As long as I know that I had a hand in the entire creation process, because at the end of it, the thing that I love the most is the storytelling and to share that with people. That's kind of in short, just sort of how I fell into the business. It's been, you know, almost my whole life, I guess you can say.
Yeah, and I love what you just said about, you know, you didn't have to go after all auditions. And what you, it's just like, I was like, now I definitely like you, Amy, even twice as more, because it's because when I relate to someone, it's like, I was like, I love you more. It's like, it makes me almost like want to work with you, because with what you said about, you know, about not chasing all the auditions, and I've done a little bit here and there in the business, indie business, and only worked on two big, huge sets of The Game Plan and the remake of The Women and stuff. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking around and go, I have much more to give. And I grew up watching, you know, action films. It's different. Everybody has different types of dreams. And I was like, I want to work with Jackie. And everybody's like, you know, I mean, it's not impossible. And it's like, people like said to me when I kept saying, I don't want to go after all these auditions. And they're like, well, you're limiting yourself. You're not a big time actress. So why are you doing that? You should go file for every single audition to go, because I know what I want. And you seem to be very level-headed. You know what you want. And that's what people don't get. And that's what I was trying to come across, of what I know what I want. And you, you know, even though you probably have more experience than me, we're kind of on the same level of thinking. And that's what I tend to think great minds and I connect with. And when I hear how you speak, I was like, oh, she's kind of someone who I hopefully to work with in the future. I mean, you know, never can tell. I mean, even though we're just connecting on the internet and on the radio show, you never can tell where your path lies. It could just say, hey, you know, we're on a film set together just by accident. I mean, that does happen to me a lot. So it's like kind of like, yeah, and then it's like when you have that chemistry with not even meeting someone and then you're on set, it's like, whoa, this is really cool. And that's what the camera sees. You know what I'm saying? That chemistry is there. It's not fake. And I think when people see that realness and the characters with the people that you work with, they tend to love it more, like those type of films. And if I ever get to work with you, boy, watch out. The energy on there is going to explode on film.
Oh, I bet. You know, it's important to always remember exactly what you want and to keep it that way. There's no right way to do just about anything in this world, let alone this business. There's no right way. There's no real rules. And that's also something that I really admire. You know, I've worked in atmospheres where I've been in corporate environments, and there are some rules there. There are ways that you do climb ladders. But the one special thing about the entertainment business is that that doesn't matter. All those rules are out the door. You really have only yourself to rely on. And by yourself, I mean your vision of what you want to make of yourself.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're sitting here, and once again, you know, calling in, I feel honored, because when I see films, especially anything with Jay, that just gets my attention right away. So when I saw, I think it was a while ago, and I think who actually told me about the film was actually Salvatore's mom, who I've kept in contact with for a little while, and I was like, oh, he's in something? And it's like when I saw him and I'm seeing all the pictures with Jay fighting, I'm going, oh, my God, this is such a turnaround. I didn't think Jay, my brother, goes in. I was like, it gets my attention anymore. And it's like, I'll sit there and talk about it, and I'll keep repeating myself over and over again. But that's what it's about. When you show about stuff that you love and not, you know, what everybody else in the whole world, that's what gets attention to me. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not into all the big Hollywood films. You know, it's just something where I've watched a lot of films overseas with subtitles, and they're really great films. And I don't know, it's just something where if a film here in America really gets my attention, that means there's something special about it. Even a short film like yours, you know, it's something where there's something to it. You know, I don't know what it is. When I like something, no matter what it is. And if it has something to do with Jay, hey, more power to you. You know what I mean? But the whole film, I just hope that, you know, everyone enjoys it tomorrow. And, you know, I know about your rules and stuff about the film festivals. I totally understand it, but I can't wait to watch it, because I'll be able to, like, I'll put a camera on me and I'll be able to give you, you know, some feedback on it, anything like that, like when I did with Safe. I made a little video and talked about my pure enjoyment. And if a film, let me tell you, if it gets me to pop out of my seat, like get all excited and stuff, if you make me actually pop up, that means you've done a really great job in my eyes.
Thank you very much. Well, we're very excited. Again, tomorrow night, The Greatest Bar in Boston, The Ordinary Man premiere, and I hope that everyone can make it out. Doors open at 7:30, and the film will screen around 8:15.
Okay, I do thank you once again for being on the show, and maybe some people will call in. And before you leave the show, I mean, is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
No, I think I've covered it all. I've got to get ready today for tomorrow and clean my house. I have to be normal sometimes too, and not always work on my work. But it's tough. It's a tough, you know, a struggle. I can't stand doing laundry. It's like my least favorite thing on the planet.
Yeah, but just think, it's better to do your own underwear. Believe me, if I ever, you know, made in the business or something like that, dry cleaning's one thing, but my own underwear, I mean, even Jackie Chan washes his own underwear in hotel rooms. There's pictures of him doing that, because would you really want anybody touching your own underwear?
No, actually, now that I think about it, not at all.
Yeah, so just keep that in mind. You might have to do your underwear, but, you know, your own underwear, but it's always good to keep in mind at least no one else is touching them. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. Someday. Someone can do my towels and all that other stuff, but not that.
Yeah. Well, I wish you much happiness tomorrow night. And once again, I wish I was there, because believe me, I know I would have enjoyed the film. And maybe sometime in the future we'll work together. Who knows? I mean, anything is possible.
Absolutely. Anything is possible, including you making it to the premiere tomorrow night if you can. You still have time. We'd love to have you.
Thank you so much, and I feel so honored and blessed that you were on the show, and, you know, good luck and best wishes tomorrow night.
Thank you so much, Shelley. Good talking with you.
All right, thank you. Enjoy your rest of your Sunday.
You too.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Well, everyone, that was Amy, and if I can say her name correctly, I think it's DiPaolo, and she was one of the creators that helped out with Michael Yeba from Boston in the film The Ordinary Man, which starred Ethan Embry, a couple other Boston boys, and one of my favorites, Jay Giannone, yes, give it up to him. Little Salvatore Santone was actually in the film, and quite a few other Boston people, and I wish them all so much happiness tomorrow night, and I really wish I was there at premiere. And when I was living back home in Boston, I used to make premieres and stuff all the time. It's just, when you have a dream, you have to, you know, work on that. So I've been doing a lot of sacrifices, and who knows, maybe after done, you know, with what I'm doing, you know, I can go back seeing all the events and everything. And I miss everyone in Boston, and, you know, to the whole cast of Ordinary Men, the casting crew, everyone involved in that making of the film. You know, best wishes, whatever your dreams are, you know, when you keep going forward. And if there's anybody that would like to call in, it's 877-907-7217. You know, if you were actually part of the film, Ordinary Man, 877-907-7217. And it does look like one of those, you know, underdog, feel-good type of film. It's a 14-minute film, but sometimes what I think, people could actually make a really good film in a short amount of time. Because you'd be surprised at, you know, some short films I've actually seen on, you know, in film festivals, and they can just really blow you away. People tend to think that a lot of the Hollywood films, they spend millions and millions of dollars. I mean, once in a while an action film will catch my eye that is that much, and I'm like, I'm wicked happy to see it. But, you know, sometimes a film, like Ordinary Man, can catch my eye. I go, there's something about that film. And I'll keep talking about it, and as I get to look into it and seeing it more, I'm going, I really think I'm going to like this film, even before seeing it, because the problem is, a lot of critics out there, movie critics, they write about the films, and it's only their view and their opinion. Now, when a movie critic writes, you know, especially about independent films and saying they're not really that good and such, maybe they don't understand, maybe they forgot, because people have to start somewhere. And a lot of independent filmmakers, you know, they don't have all this Hollywood, you know, people backing their films. And I know a lot of people want to give us advice and stuff, but when you're a beginner, how do you get to where you are? It's networking and just doing certain things, you know, connecting with people. Now, you might not connect with people at first because people don't know what you're about. And I think that's what a lot of people do. They just start going to events, going on sets, even working as extras on sets. That's a good place to start. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But afterwards, I mean, some people, I know people that are professional actors that are, I'm sorry, not actors, but extras on films. They get paid. They're either in SAG or non-union, because when you do go on set and you're extra, I mean, it's kind of like you being part of the background, part of the furniture. Some people do enjoy that. And it's like, I'm very happy to people that want to do extra work because, you know, it's the sheer joy that they get to be part of something. So see, some people want to take it next step up in films. They want to act. Some people will even take it further than that. They want to start making their own films. They want to play leads. Because there's a lot of people out there, there's millions and millions of people that are very talented, very talented people. Like, I believe the cast and crew of Ordinary Men are very talented, the writers. And let me see, the other thing that caught my eye in Ordinary Men, like when I saw the stills, the pictures of Jay Gianoni and the rest of the guys fighting, knowing in my background and working on a film called Falcare right now, you know, just doing a little bit of, it wasn't big stunts, but it was something that I had done a couple weeks ago, and I had to keep doing it over and over and over again, and I'm like, wow, you know, to do that stuff, you know, even falling on the ground, and if there's no mats or anything there, and you're doing that up to 10, 15, 20 times, you know, just seeing that, and actually fighting, and a lot of times what I tend to see, maybe it's in the Hollywood film, maybe not in the Hollywood film, but in indie films themselves, people are actually hitting each other in the fight scenes, and they want to make it real. They want to make it where they're not just actually missing them. It's actually they're doing the fights. It's because these people are trained. Like Jay Gianoni, he gets trained more and more. And when I saw the pictures, his face, the intensity in Jay Gianoni's face is incredible because he can bring it in a fight scene. He plays a lot of villains and stuff. And when you look at Jay and you talk with Jay Gianoni, you're like, how does this guy play a villain or, you know, just this jerk or whatever? But when you're seeing one set, you can understand it. And that's why I want to work with Jay. And I do run a fan club page, the Jay Gianoni fan club page on Facebook. I run that. I have to update it. It's just, I do apologize, ladies and gentlemen. I just have been so busy running the radio show, working full time. And now I'm going to have to start training for a film myself, a Falcare. We're doing all the before scenes before, you know, we get whisked away in a film. And if anybody wants to call in, it's 877-907-7217. And I'm going to read about Falcare right now. I was hoping more people from Ordinary Man cast and crew would call in. You know, it's 877-907-7217. And what I'm going to do is talk about a film that I'm actually going to be in. I'm going to pull up Falcare site once again. Hold on one second. I'm pulling it up on Facebook. And the film that I'm in called Falcare, I am a primary lead role. And what it is, Falcare is a fantasy action film about four women choosing to become the legendary Valkyrie in order to save humanity from an alien race. Now, everybody else involved in the film, Uhura, Z, the Leathers, the Mastermind, everybody else knows about, you know, where it comes from, you know, like Thor and Valkyrie. And I only had basic knowledge of what, you know, Valkyrie is. I'm learning as I go. My character, while in the before stages, before we get whisked away, my character is kind of like a Rosie Riveter type of character. And my character itself, I guess you can say it's like, you know, she can fight, but I don't want to fight. You know, I just want to do my work and stuff, and that's basically what my character is. So we get whisked away from the gods, and we have to train. Now, what he's going to do, he's going to train us. And I've trained for a year in Tai Chi with Uhura Z and his daughter, Nirukazi. We've been training with them at Unicorn Cove in Maine. And the thing is, to know to train in a martial art, no matter what type it is, it's a lot of hard work. I mean, the people that do the action films, they make it look easy because they've been doing it for years. They've been doing it since they were little. I've only had training a little bit on and off since my late 30s. But just learning it, I go, wow, I'm really doing these things, and I'm 41. In October, I'll be 42. Nothing is impossible, and I'm just very happy. And once again, I want to thank Amy for actually coming on the show and actually talking about Ordinary Man. And it seems like she'd be someone a woman I could connect with. And it seems like mostly in the industry, I've been connecting with mostly men. Now, for me to say about, you know, connecting with women more, that means these women really have something because, once again, I've never been a chick type of girl. I've always been, you know, kind of the nerd, the geek, you know, liking sci-fi and horror growing up. And it's kind of, you know, growing up as a kid, you're embarrassed to think that you could be loving these things. But as an adult, you know, what you love is, you know, in your heart. So just connecting with some women now, I'm just starting over the last year to connect with women who are on our level, which I think they're really cool. And even just talking with Amy, if this was the first time we actually talked, I've touched base with Amy on the Ordinary Man site, and it says, you know, I'd like you to be a guest on my show and talk about it, because once again, any film that's made in Boston, it's in my heart. It's because where I'm from. And I just love to see people, even though if I haven't seen them, anybody back home in Boston, you want to do a film and stuff, and especially if it's got anything to do with action, you're in my heart. And if anybody, I mean, not just Boston, but anywhere, but I'm just saying because I'm a Boston girl, as you can hear me talking. And when I see something from Boston, the filmmakers and the actors, you know, I just think they have a chance like anybody else. And a lot of us, we have the Bostonian accent, and, you know, with the things that I'm doing, I feel blessed because I don't have to get rid of my accent. I don't want to get rid of my Boston accent. I mean, if I was doing something like playing Barbie or something in the 14th century, I mean, something, I mean, maybe I would have to get a coach and stuff. But if I'm working in a film and it's a character and my Boston accent actually, you know, enhances it, where it's not fake and they're like, that's a real Boston accent, then I think that would enhance the film. It would enhance the character. So what I feel very blessed that the filmmakers are working with what I have to give. They're taking the best out of me and putting into character the different types. And what I feel blessed about Valkyr is, I think I've mentioned this before, when I was little and I watched Wonder Woman as a child, I wanted to be Wonder Woman. I wanted to get up and spin around and go, da-da-da-da, running around in that little swimsuit thing with the boots and the lasso and stuff, and here I am at 41, and now I get to go to a set where I'm playing a Wonder Woman, and it's the best feeling in the whole world. And the people on set, Teresa and Lisa, I mean, everybody out there, and Brad and Nadine, and everybody that's associated working on the set of Valkyr, I'm so happy to see them every time they come on set and we're there and they're doing the scenes and they're supporting me. And anybody that's working in the scene with me, I feel blessed because it's like I'm doing a lead. And I'm so happy. I could just cry. I'm almost ready to cry on live on the air and radio. I know I shouldn't do this, but it's like, you know, you just sit there. And it's a wonderful feeling that someone believes in me. So with Valkyr, what I'm going to do is, once again, I'm bringing up the fundraiser site. Just give me one moment. And it says here, I'm going to bring it up once again. It says I'm on the Facebook, and I have to scroll down. And with Valkyr, you can go to fundraiser, fundraiser.com, F as in Frank, U, N as in Nancy, D as in David, RAZR.com. It's Valkyr Fundraiser, F as in Frank, ALCYYR Fundraiser. And the fundraiser, this is what it actually says here. We need to raise $35,000 to complete Valkyr. We need different camera equipment and better screening equipment. We've gone as far as we can go without your help. Those of you that know a whore know that he has the ability to take a little and stretch it to its limit, and he has. But now he needs help. We are asking for funds that we can do a beautiful film to present to you. If even 100 of you gave 150, that would help us considerably. If there are companies out there that would be willing to sponsor our project, we will find a way to feature you, your product, or your name in Valkyr. We will do it in an artistic way so that it fits within the grand scheme of the movie. We are doing the best that we can with no money, but we have hit a wall. We do not need millions, although we will graciously accept it. But to fulfill the vision of Valkyr, we need a little. All of you that will give, will receive gifts. You can actually go there and read it and see exactly what it is, and maybe even walk on role in the movie. We thank you in advance for your consideration and hope that you'll be generous. And yes, I am filming in Valkyr. Maybe you work with me. Now, maybe I'm not, you know, a big name actress, but I'm going to tell you one thing. I grew up watching action films. I have it in my heart to give my 110%, 200% for a film. And when you see me on set, you'll see that I'm focused and I'm driven, I'm determined. And when I work with Ahura Z, believe me, working with him would be just like working with Jackie Chan. Seriously. Two different men, martial artists, and Z actually, you know, he came and he worked on Hollywood sets. I don't know what he's worked on. I mean, I know he's worked on films. He's from there. So he knows what he's doing. And to make an independent film, to show it, and I think he does want to show it in the movie theaters. I mean, there's some movie theaters up here in Maine called Cinemagic. I mean, I've been there quite a few times. They're just, you know, it's a chain. And he's going to try, you know, he's doing his very best. He does everything. And the whole Unicorn Cult family, let me just say, they work really hard. And I've seen some of the costumes, the headpieces. I was just blown away with what they did and they designed. And the breastplate for the women, for us, for the Valkyrie, amazing. It's, I mean, I just am not going to post pictures because it's like, you know, people, they like to steal. So unless it's posted on actually the Valkyrie things, I'm not going to talk about things that, you know, about things on the set. Let me say they're amazing. So if it's actually on the Falco site, I will pull it up and I'll post it on my Facebook page, Shelly Nunchuck Finnegan, and you'll see everything as we're going along. And another cool thing, which is awesome, and I'm going to tell you, I feel even more blessed and more honored because there's a couple people that we are associating with. One of them, we had a horse, which was rescued in one of the scenes, and I actually got on top of this horse just to get a feel for it, actually out in the fields. We're not in the field. It's actually the land where a whore is actually filming. It's not a built set. It's out there. It's epic. It's like that epic feel to it. And when you're sitting on top of this horse, his name is Cowboy, and it was where this horse was rescued at Skyloft Morgan's, and it was actually on my friend Jen, and I've been out there quite a few times, you know, seeing Jen, and she saved horses. And there's this one little donkey, totally cute and adorable. His name is Bridie, and I don't know if he was rescued or not, but, I mean, she rescues horses. I mean, there's a couple places we were working with, and this is one of the places, the first place, Skyloft Morgan's. And Jen, she's rescued horses. And this one horse, Cowboy, he was rescued from a meat train. And I guess he was from Amish country or something. They didn't want the horse anymore. He had a scar. I don't know the whole thing, the whole story, but he was actually rescued from a meat train. So he was giving a second opportunity. There I was. I got up on top of the horse. And just being able to walk with this horse, I was so happy because he had this animal rescued. And I can't tell you what an honor it is to sit on top of a horse that was given a second chance. So now, even further, even more, we're taking horseback riding lessons in Buxton, Maine on hearts and horses. Hearts, you know, like in your heart. I know I talk funny, H-E-A-R-T-S, hearts and horses. And we're taking lessons there. And these people, none of the people, rescued horse. And yesterday, I saw this horse. And on its side, I didn't want to take a picture of it, but they rescued this horse. I don't know the name of it. And I think someday I'm going to be able to ride on this horse. Right now, the horse has an injury. It's a hole in the side, and it's really bad. But they rescued it. And I don't know the whole story, and I think it was saved. And it looked really sad. It was this brown horse. I don't know the name of it. And its head was down, and I just, like, when I put my hand on it, I was just, like, I felt so bad in the scars and seeing the hole. And it was saved. And it's in a better place now at Hearts and Horses. And the thing is, when I was petting it and just talking in my mind to the horse. Now, I'm not some sort of psychic. I'm not a horse whisperer. And I was like, you know, I wish I had the land. I would buy this horse. That would be my horse. And I would never let this horse ever be hurt ever again. So when I was petting it, it just, like, let me pet it. You know, some of the horses, you know, I mean, horses have different personalities. They bond with many different people. But it just seems like yesterday with this one horse, it was really, I don't know if it was a boy or girl, but it was really letting me pet it. And I was saying to it, you know, I would never let anything happen to you if you were my horse. The next thing I know, from what I know, the horses, they like grass. Now, they're in these outdoor stalls, and they're well taken care of, and, you know, they have so much land, and they're fed very well. And I was feeding it grass. And I was like, when I pulled the grass up, and I went to feed the horse, the horse's head was picked up in its ears. It was like, it looked at me. I was like, what, you want some grass? So here I am feeding this animal that was rescued. Do you know what a feeling that feels like? It is beautiful and wonderful. And I'm sitting there, and I was like, I almost didn't want to leave the horse. And I was like, I hope someday when the horse heals, this horse I can ride. So the woman that's the director, her name is Stephanie, I think her last name is Keen, she wrote to me on Facebook, and she told me, when the horse is healed, you'll be able to ride the horse. And I was so, I was so thrilled, and I almost started crying from the response on Facebook that this horse, you know, I don't know why Eleni kept petting him or her. And there I was, I'm sitting going, this is a blessing. This is an honor, H-O-N-O-R, an honor to touch this horse. And I can't explain the feeling that I had. Like, I almost didn't want to leave it. And I do hope there comes a day when this horse is healed, I want to get up and I want to ride this horse that was rescued. I mean, there's so many beautiful horses there that I liked, and I got a chance to ride on the horseback riding lesson on Thunder, which is actually the horse that my brother Jorge DeLiz is actually going to play, and he's playing Thor in the film. So, you know, Jorge is a big guy, and I got to do a horseback riding lesson on Thunder, and that was really cool. But I'm sitting here going, I want to ride this horse. When this horse is healed, it feels good, and if the horse lets me, I'm going to do a horseback riding on lesson, or I'm going to go on a trail. And I can't wait till we go back to hearts and horses again. Even just visiting the horses, they make me happy. And I think actually my big brother Z and them, they're seeing this thing that's actually happened in hearts and horses, this event. And they're very talented animals. And I can't wait for my next horseback riding lesson. And I can't wait to see that horse, and I hope to find out its name. I mean, if they give it a name, and just to see how it's healing. And Hots and Horses and Skyless and Morgan, just these people, they rescue the horses. And, you know, it's a lot of responsibility and a lot to feed these horses. And it's a lot of hard work. I mean, people think of a horse, and, you know, they just don't realize that the people that actually do take care of them, and then they do love these horses. I mean, even the little girls that I do see in the Hots and Horses that have been, you know, working, and they volunteer at these places. They're wonderful little girls. I see them, and they're teaching me about horses and just know these things. And here I am, 41 years old, and these young girls know what they're doing. I see them riding the horses, and I'm like, wow, that's an amazing thing to me. So I feel blessed that in my journey, my big dream to work with Jackie Chan, all these things that I'm getting to do, and people that I'm meeting, amazing, amazing people. I just feel so blessed. And with self-care, what I want to do right now is let you hear the type of music that is going to be playing in the movie. I want you to know self-care is an epic film. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, hear how I feel. It's in my heart that I just feel so blessed to work in a film called self-care. And I hope you hear this song. It's called Battle Song, and it's actually done by Jorge. Jorge Cor DeLiz is a composer, and his wife Sonari, who actually they work together and they sing really well together. So I'm going to play the song, and I'll probably play it once again. It's called Battle Song, and if you know what an epic film is and you hear this song, you'll understand what the film is about. So here we go. And once again, if anybody's out there that wants to call in to speak about Ordinary Man, 877-907-7217, you know anybody that's been part of the cast and crew. But for now, I'm going to play Battle Song. And you'll hear this epic music that's part of our film. Here we go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Battle Song by a man who I look up to, my teacher, my big brother, Horace Cordeliezer, and his beautiful, lovely wife, Sonari. And as you can tell, it is an epic song. It has an epic tale to it, and that is the type of music in our film, Valkyr. Now, once again, this show is live, and anybody can listen to it afterwards. It's archived. Now, I did have Amy DiPaolo from one of the people that was part of Ordinary Man. And if there's anybody else out there that like to talk about Ordinary Man, please feel free to call in at 877-907-7217. And I do want to see something. I'm going to set this standard straight here for my show. If people don't like it, you know, they can take a flying leap, but I will not be talking about sexual orientation. I will not be talking about politics. It's about dreams and stuff. And I do feel people do respect it. Any guest on my show will be able to talk without worry of being offended. You know, as long as people respect themselves, they're allowed to come on my show. Now, I've had people on one of the shows call in, and it was a number I didn't recognize, and some idiot, you know, I get it, ha-ha, funny, says, you know, whatever, said something like a joke or something in it. But it's like, come on, you know, I mean, I know this is just a small show. It is being broadcast live around the whole world, the internet, you know. And I'm not going to have a three-ring circus. I mean, good for Howard Stern and all those ones that want to degrade people. But my show is not being about degrading people. And what everybody has a dream, you know, whatever it is, I don't care who you are. If you are someone out there that has been talked down to and you have a dream, if you want to voice it, just talk about it. You can call on my show. It's 877-907-7217, and you can call in and talk. I mean, even if it's just a few minutes. So, it's, you know, I'm just tired of people being put down because of their dreams, whatever it may be. Why should they have to be put down? It doesn't matter how old you are. You can do a dream. I mean, what is it you can get up, you know, if you want to act, all you do is get in front of a camera. Now, when you first start out, it don't matter what you do. You want to do YouTube or something like that, whatever, you know, just to get the feel for it. But what you're going to do is keep, you know, stepping up a notch. If you want to be serious, you know, some people, you know, as you heard Amy, she went to take classes and workshops. I mean, everybody has a different way of doing things, you know, learning things. I'm learning as I go. I'm having more hands-on experience. You know, I'm lucky things because I've been working every single day for 7 years. Now it's over more 7 years, even on holidays and stuff, doing networking, talking with people on the phone every single day. You know, and what I want to do, and, you know, I've listened to Amy and how she's giving back. You know, I think that what they're doing is a scholarship running, you know, for filmmakers and stuff. You can go and you can speak to Amy tomorrow night at the fundraiser and also at the showing tomorrow night at Ordinary Man. And the more things that I want to do that matters to me, you know, besides, you know, there's things that I hope to have a bigger voice, you know, besides with the homeless and children and many other things that I've been trying to give back in my own way. And granted, it's small ways and stuff in the past, you know, 10 years doing it, you know, trying to give back. I've been supporting Become Backers in people's films, you know, going to the fundraisers. Now, it might be $10 here and there, but, you know, that could buy a little tiny things for the set. So I've been trying to be backers, and maybe I don't have a lot of money, but supporting the filmmakers, the indie filmmakers out there, because once again, they don't have Hollywood to back them. You know, some of them, okay, some films you're like, what the heck is this? But there's a lot of people that are really talented out there. There's a lot of people that I know are trying to put their heart and soul in, and they're not trying to scam off people, you know, off these things, because they want to make a film. It's what's in their heart. And who are you to tell anybody out there, any of the negative people, who are you to tell people that they can't do a dream? Because they have something in their heart that they want to do. And I've talked with so many people, and they're talking about haters and stuff like that. You know what? Screw the haters. Let them take a flying leap. Get away from them. Get away from the negative people. If I can do it, you can do it. And I've actually moved out of Maine to get away from all the negativity. And I'm sitting here today. You know, I live a very happy life. And I'm just putting out there that, you know, I'm happy-go-lucky. You know, seriously, I wouldn't be sitting here talking today to people. I don't know who's listening to or who's going to eventually listen to my shows, because looking in the archives, one of the shows actually up to 600 people have listened to one of my shows, and I've only had the show maybe about a month, but people are listening to my show. It broadcasts internationally around the world. If you have the internet, anybody can listen to it. They can call in at 877-907-7217, 877-907-7217. Just taking a drink of water, but let me just tell you, like doing stand-up, talking on a radio show and going for 2 hours to keep constantly talking, let me say, it's not as easy as you think. It's like, oh, boy, I'm going to talk. But, you know, sitting there talking to yourself and broadcasting live, there's no script. I'm just talking off the top of my head, you know, whatever comes to me. I'm here with my little co-host, Jackie Chan Kitty. Yes, I named my cat Jackie Chan. Because what happens to me in my life, stray animals come to me. You know, she was in my backyard. And my car, and she was jumping out from underneath the car and going, and taking off. She was acting like a ninja. And I'm like, this cat's acting like Jackie Chan. So I was like, kept coming around. So I was like, okay, what do you want? He's like, meow, 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 meow. So I was like, what, are you hungry? So I ended up feeding the cat, and I actually have pictures of the cat eating the food off the ground. Next thing I know, the cat's in my house, and I have a cat. It's a female calico cat, and her name is Jackie Chan Kitty. I know. Only Shelly Minchucks would have a cat named Jackie Chan. You know, wow, your throat really gets dry a little bit after talking for an hour nonstop or, you know, amount of time. Excuse me for 1 minute. Got to make sure to have tons of water. And, yes, you always should be drinking lots of water. Try to take care of yourself as best you can. And I think I'm going to actually be going through training for foul care. And that's going to be a lot of hard work. Because we're doing our own stunts and our own fights, and, man, all I'm going to say, it does take dedication to even do an indie film, to give your heart and soul. And let me say, with Foul Care, our sets on the land itself is so beautiful, and I've been taking pictures when, even yesterday when Ahura, and a lot of people, if you want to call him Z, you can call him Z, because Ahura is the core, Deleuze is actually a tongue twister to some people, so a lot of people call him Z. So for the main of the show, maybe I should just call him Z, my big bro. And, you know, just seeing him yesterday out there, you know, filming, he's very dedicated. And, you know, with the funds that he doesn't have, he makes up in talent, because he's just someone who will do everything on a set. The music and, you know, even hearing that song, Battle Song, you can get a feel. I just played it a little while ago. It's an epic feeling to it. And it's something, you know, for myself, you know, once again, just seeing that little girl that had watched Wonder Woman sitting there on TV and just seeing it, you know, I wish I was Wonder Woman. Here I am, I don't know, about 20, 25 years later, I'm becoming a Wonder Woman for a film, and he's going to get us really in top shape. He's going to kick our butts into shape. Let me just say that. And I do know, seeing, you know, many action films, and even those Asian action films from overseas, you know, the subtitles, just seeing many years of what I watched, realizing I'm doing it. I'm actually living proof that dreams do come true. Now, maybe I'm not the most beautiful woman in the world. I mean, you know, I mean, maybe I don't want to talk about religion stuff, but, I mean, I believe in God, and I'm not gonna push it upon anyone, you know, what I believe in. But I knew I was put on this earth to do something really big, something really huge. It's not just the fact that I want to work with Jackie Chan. It's something where I know in my heart I'm going to do something bigger. And a lot of things I see, like with animals, and I'm not just talking about like cats and dogs, but, you know, wild animals, animals that are now almost becoming extinct because man is just killing them off. People don't, you know, they don't think. You're supposed to be connected with this world, connected with the land, connected with the animals, and even the wolves. And the American gray wolf in Mexico is now starting to become extinct. People don't care. But it is going to affect, you know, it's going to affect everything. You start killing off more and more animals. It's, what is the correct word, the ecosystem? I mean, I don't know great big terms, but everything that's going to be killed off. It's going to affect us eventually, and the earth is going to die off if we don't start doing things more and more and taking things in our own hands. Now, whether people don't care or aren't educated on these things, we really got to take a step up and start taking responsibility for our actions. Now, people just blame everybody else in the world, thinking it's not their fault, wherever you're from, in the city or the country or whatever, you know, thinking, because, you know, people do get busy in our lifestyles. We have to work and keep a roof over our heads. But the effect on everything, it is going to eventually affect every single one of us unless we start doing things ourselves. We start connecting one another instead of hating on each other, connecting in a way in society to bring back to the earth. And even viewing a lot of things like Jason Scott Lee, who actually, he played Bruce Lee in The Dragon, and seeing how he lives his life. Now, a lot of these, you know, people that are actors, you know, they make a lot of money, but they're giving back. And always like Jackie, I always come back speaking about Jackie Chan. He gives back so much. And even looking at Jason Scott Lee, and he's living Pono, P-O-N-O, if I say that correctly, you know, in Hawaii. He's bought his own land, and he's given back. He's actually harvesting and living in a certain way with little means, but giving back to the earth in his own way. Now, I don't know if giving back more, you actually have to become rich to give back. I mean, it seems like the ones that are the Hollywood people, the bigger voices, they're actually listening to more. I mean, unless you make an impact, I mean, Mother Teresa herself, you know, she went out and she lived among the poor. And I think she came from a wealthy family and was educated. But to know those things and to work among the poor and actually do those things and see those things, it shows that there are people that can change the world. And I don't know if I have to have a bigger voice to be able to do those things. And what I'm doing is just, even on my Facebook page, showing the animals that are to be adopted in Maine, and they're even the rescue places, the animal shelters, they start waiving the fees to help the animals be adopted. And I would love to see the gas chambers be eradicated from the animal shelters, get rid of them. Because animals, just because they're not wanted, they put to death in the gas chambers. Why? Maybe there's no room for them, but there's no need of killing animals just because they're unwanted. Why can't we make, instead of these things that kill, why can't we make bigger places to help animals live a life, to help them get adopted? If I can take a stray animal in and give it a second chance, why can't more people go to pet shelters instead of pet stores where they're probably puppy mills and such, and just keep adopting animals that way? Excuse me, I need some more water. 1 second. I actually have a tickle in my throat, I think, just talking so much. And you know, I worked on set yesterday, and doing the scene, I just feel so lucky, and I feel very blessed to be able to do all these things and connecting with people more and more. And I just want to give back so much, and I've tried, you know, as one person to give back in my own way. And I just hope, you know, whatever is out there, whatever God or whatever, you know, is keeping this whole universe together, I hope I'm giving, you know, more strength and a bigger voice to make bigger changes, not just in my own backyard, but around other places. You know, if with the animals around here in my backyard, just feeding them for now, you know, just seeing them and doing those things, I mean, that's all maybe that I can do, but just keep trying. That's all I can do. And, you know, just connecting and finding the people here. And actually, speaking of people, I like to talk a little bit about Jay Giannone. Now, the man himself, Jay Giannone, out there in Hollywood, and actually he's in Boston, who is actually filming, I think he's still filming The Witching Hour with, let's see, Jay, I'm going to bring up Kevin McDonald. He's on Facebook. He's a director who I've connected with, I hope to work with someday. And he's filming The Witching Hour. which does star Tony Todd and a couple other people. I'm just trying to bring up the site. Let's see if I can find the site with Kevin McDonald, the director. I do have it here. I think it's been a while. Let's see. Okay. And this is The Witching Hour. It says with Kevin McDonald. Let's see if I can bring up the site here. It's with William Forsythe, Tony Todd, Candyman, Tony Todd. Oh, man, I hope I get to see a picture with Tony Todd. Man, that guy is, like, huge. I mean, you ever see Tony Todd? Look up Candyman. I've seen him in other films. He's huge. But anyway, Michael Madison, Gigi Giannone is actually in the film, too. I'm so happy. I'm so, so excited Jay's in the film. And once again, I do run a Jay Giannone fan club page, and I'm just so excited. Every time Jay does something, I get so excited. And when I saw Safe, I was in the movie theater jumping up and down when I saw Jay Giannone on the screen. And every time I see him in the films, I just get more and more wicked excited. But I'm just, you know, just seeing him do more things, it just inspires me. And it makes me so happy that he is getting to do things more and more, because he's one of the people that actually told me, a couple people had told me this, but once again, I'm going to repeat it. Jay was actually out in Hollywood, and I'll never forget this. When people told me years ago that I couldn't work with Jackie Chan, he wouldn't acknowledge me or nothing, I called out Jay. I was very down. Jay was out there, and I think we was actually watching a baseball game, and I just wanted to know, and I just asked him straight out. He didn't know that I was upset at the time, but as I got myself together, called him, and I'm like, Jay, do you think it's impossible for me to work with Jackie Chan? Jay didn't even hesitate. It was just like nonchalantly goes, yeah, it's possible. You just got to work for it. And I'm like, he works on the Hollywood sets. He does these films. And I was like, wow. And a lot of people in the independent film industry, they were telling me, oh, Jackie won't do this, do that. How do you know what Jackie Chan will say or what Jackie Chan will do? He's his own country. He's his own business and everything, you know? I mean, you know he came from China and another country, but Jackie Chan is his own country, if you really think about it. So anyway, to get back to Jay, he's been filming The Witching Hour with Kevin McDonald, and Kevin McDonald did this film Big, and I'm like dying to see Big. Kevin McDonald, send me a copy of Big. I want to see it. I'm up here in Maine. I'm begging you to see Big, but Tony Moran was actually in that film, a.k.a. the original Michael Myers. And I hope to have Tony on my show. It's just, oh, I'm just trying to get in the swing of things. Hopefully have bring him on the show as a guest. And, you know, I saw a trailer for it, and I really wish and hope that I do learn more about the show and how to get the songs onto the cue list, onto the Blog Talk Radio. I guess I'll have to ask Charlie. And speaking of Charlie Howler Angel, this is, my show is actually affiliated with Diamond in the Rough Ordinary Woman show, and I'm actually affiliated with her. And Charlie, if you're listening, I cannot wait for next weekend when you're up there. We are seeing Expendables 2. I am so excited. It's got everybody in there but Jackie Chan, but I mean, all the guys that I grew up watching, Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Jet Li, Dolph Lundgren, Van Damme. I mean, damn. I cannot wait to see this film. I mean, there's so many other people that are in this film, but I am so super pumped to see Expendables 2. And when Charlie and I, oh, my gosh, we're going to be so excited jumping in and out of our seats next week to see Expendables 2. I'm just like, I'm so excited. And Charlie, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity with the radio show. I mean, just giving me the 2 hours of the show and be able to do these shows. I'm so wicked psyched and so pumped, and I cannot wait. And she's actually filming Falcare, you know, when she's able to do things, because she just won this beauty pageant, and this woman's done it all. And I just want to give props to Charlie Girl, about, you know, what she is, because a lot of people, they think of minorities. Now, Charlie, she's Spanish, right? There's different cultures within the Spanish culture, you know, and people say about minorities doing this and doing that, you know, all these things. And let me say, this woman works. She raised a family, okay, has, you know, grown adults who, you know, she's a nana now, practically, and it's like, she's like, I'm not going to give her age away, but woman raised a family. She was a state trooper, and she's out there, you know, she knows about martial arts. She's on set, by the way, she was just in Batman. She was a Gotham City police officer. I mean, no, she's just in the background, but she was actually in the film, but she does a lot of different things. She works really hard. She just won a pageant, for crying out loud. Miss Petite Pageant, she won many different things. She does a lot of things. And let me say, I'm glad and proud to call her one of my big sisters. And she's done so many things. This woman's amazing. She's not sitting in welfare in the projects. That she's, like, considered a minority. She's done a lot of things. So people that want to badmouth anybody that's Spanish and stuff, she became a state trooper. She works hard. She does working on the sets as an actor. She does stunts and fight scenes. So if you want to put everybody, all minorities, into one little, like, melting pot, just think again, because this woman works hard. I mean, believe me, there's white people out there that are actually on welfare and in the projects who don't care. So it's like, you know, this is bad in every single type of race out here. So, you know, if you want to give some credit where credit's due, you know, Charlie girl, I'm proud to call her a big sister, where she doesn't take advantage of the system. She actually works, okay? And I'm just proud to call her my big sister and all the accomplishments. And, yes, she did raise a family, and she is a mom, so she does more than just being a mom. She actually works. So let's put the cards on the table here, shall we? Anyway, I'm proud to be working with Charlie. And we actually went and we actually to a couple of film festivals and stuff together, and we had a ball. And it's just so exciting. It's like when we get together, we're like sisters, and, you know, I'm the little sister, she's the big sister. So I'm really proud, you know, to call Charlie Alangel, you know, one of my big sisters. And let's see. I'm going to take a little break, play a couple little songs. Let's see what's in the queue here. I'm going to have to ask her to actually queue up a few things, but let's see. Is a funky little thing from my brother, Horace Acor DeLisa. I'm going to play, it's called Get Up Off Your Seat. Here we go. This is all out of fun, this song, anyway, so here we go. That was a Horace Acor DeLisa, and I think he actually did this as a fun thing to get up off your seat. And I'm going to bring up, once again, Kevin MacDonald, a great filmmaker who I hope to work with someday. And actually, his film bag, I Am Dying to See. Kevin MacDonald, you're out there. You got to send me a copy of the DVD. I've been waiting patiently so long, I want to be scared. Kevin MacDonald, send me that. I promise I'll watch it late at night, you know. I'll get some popcorn. I mean, I love Tony Moran. You've got to love, you know, Tony Moran And it's actually special appearance by Tony Todd. Cool. We got a couple Tonys in Vegas. Tony Todd is the Candyman, Candyman, Candyman. Oh, man, I wish I could say Candyman and have Tony Todd up here in here. It's like, let me see, Candyman, Candyman, Candyman. No Tony Todd. Tony Todd, I thought if I said Candyman a couple times, you'd kind of appear, but, oh, well, I guess not. You know, I mean, just, I mean, these are the characters that I've loved in films, but in Big, you can go and check it out, www.eggfilm.com. And it was by the filmmaker Kevin MacDonald. And I think it actually might have won a couple awards. Let me see if there's any information that I can bring up about it, about Big. And, okay, this is about Big. Tony Moran, the original Mike Myers, Halloween and Halloween 2, returns to the screen as burnt-out detective Jack Fox, who's being forced into early retirement when the worst serial killer, serial killer. Now, Tony Moran, let me get this straight. Tony Moran, who played a serial killer, is now a detective. This is great. This is just great. You know, he played Mike Myers, who's a serial. How about that for a turn of events for Tony Moran? Anyway, once again, it's Tony Moran, the detective, who's being forced into early retirement when the worst serial killer since the Boston Strangler being a killing spree, Jack is torn between a life of retirement insanity or helping rookie detective Steve Ryan, Brandon Stump. Oh, my gosh, that's right, Brandon Stump. I actually got to work with Brandon Stump. He's like, oh, my gosh. I forgot about that. Brandon, love you. Love you, bro. He's actually in there. Stop the maniac who is stalking the streets of Salem with music by Harry Manfredini, Friday the 13th. Oh, my gosh. Friday the 13th, House Swamp Thing. Are you serious? Oh, my gosh. Kevin MacDonald, if you're out there, send me a copy of this DVD, okay? And it says, a cast that features thus far versus Tony Todd. See, The Candyman, Final Destination, and The Crow. Let's see. Michael Berryman, oh, my gosh. The Hills Have Eyes, The Devil Rejects. Oh, my gosh. This is going to be a scary film to me. Christina Kelb, Rob Zombie's Halloween. Tiffany Shepard, Nightmare Man, Nympha, Debbie Walken, Night of the Living Dead, Color from the Dark, and PJ Souls, Halloween Carrie, The Devil's Rejects, Beg a Shore to Please Even the Most Die-Hard Movie Fan. Oh, my gosh. Kevin MacDonald. Please, oh, please send me a DVD. Oh, I really have to see this. This is just awesome. I forgot Brandon was in that. I've actually worked with Brandon. He's doing actually a few things on there. And it shows on Kevin MacDonald. He actually has a Facebook page, Kevin, MacDonald. He actually has a Facebook page, and you can check out his work there. Oh, man, I think there's actually one stuff at a film festival. And I'm so psyched. I can't wait to see this. See, these are the films that should be on Netflix, you know, that you want to see because it's like something that's like, it's really kind of cool that a lot of filmmakers, a lot of indie filmmakers are actually doing stuff like this. They're putting their heart and soul into these films. So let me see if there's anything else about Big on here because I was pretty sure that, let's see, maybe it is album October 2010. Okay. I think there was a signing in it in Salem, October 2010. They had signing autographs with Tony Moran and William Forsythe. Yes, I do recognize these faces, so that's kind of cool. That's really, really awesome. You know, it shows them signing the autographs. And I'm trying to look to see if there's any other pictures. Let's see what this says here. If I can bring this picture up, it says, okay, Beg is an official selection. It's just from Flickers. It's a Rhode Island Horror International Film Festival 2011. And I think Kevin MacDonald actually did win a couple awards, but, man, I just got to see this film. I mean, I just want to be scared. I just want to pee my pants here watching the film. I bet you it's a fun ride. I mean, getting that whole cast there. Let's see. Is there any more other pictures I can read anything off of? It shows Tony Moran and Kevin, and it just looked like, I mean, these are the type of films that I just truly would love to do, and to show them in Salem, Mass, you know, spooky world of capital of the world, Salem, Massachusetts. Ooh, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And it's just, that's really kind of a cool concept if you really think about it, because I think Tony Moran, I mean, playing the serial killer, that's what he's known for, right? And so him to play a detective, I've got to ask him. You know, I really, really got to ask him, you know, how it was to play a serial killer. And it's actually, I think there's a picture of Tony Moran with Leatherface, Gunnar Hansen. I think that's the original movie. You know, it says someone bringing up about Leatherface and Myers. Now there's the movie. Imagine having Leatherface and Mike Myers, the original two in a film. Oh, my God. That would be kind of cool because there's fans out there that like the original work. I mean, people that do the own adaption of things like Rob Zombie making his, you know, scaring the hell out of people nowadays. But that's what we want. We want to be entertained, you know, when we go see a movie theater. I know a lot of people like dramas and stuff. But, you know, nowadays, if you're going to go to a movie theater, pay $15. I think some places it's $15 to see a ticket. I don't want to sit and cry in a movie theater. Now, if I didn't know that, you know, I was going to cry at the movie for it, you know, I probably wouldn't mind going to see it. But if you know it's a drama and it's a cry fest, I'm not going to go pay $15. I mean, granted, I bet the acting in drama films are really great and stuff like that. But seriously, if you want to see dramatic stuff, I'd rather wait in the own comforts of my own home to sit and cry. I want to go to a movie and be entertained. I want to be whisked away into a different world, you know, to see people who, you know, maybe out of their own elements, being scared in the movie theater. So let me say, my friends, when I was like, yeah, let's, with Dina and Janine, you know, back home in Boston, and I said, let's go see a horror movie. Yeah, let's go see, be scared. We saw Saw and, you know, just clinging my girlfriends in the movie theater. It's well worth the trip. I'm like, ah, and they're like, Shelly, why did you pick this film? But I love the horror films. I love the sci-fi. I love that. I love the action films. And when the, you know, just watching them, and I'm going to watch a horror movie. I'm going to see what's up in Netflix here. Oops, you know, promoting Netflix. I mean, you know, maybe someday the filmmakers that I know, like Kevin McDonald, I really hope them much all success. All filmmakers, all indie filmmakers, you know, whatever you're doing, whatever your dream is, I wish much success, you know, in your own way, you know, bring your films to the big screen. Because believe me, watching films, being part of films, it's my life. And I love seeing a lot of independent filmmakers doing their own things. And actually, a film that I was in, I got to play a zombie. And I do now have more respect for all of, like, you know, the George Romero zombies out there and stuff. Becoming a zombie for a film called iNavi. It's I-A-Y-N-A, if that's the way to correctly how to spell it, iNavi. And it was a film, a short film, that Jorge Zacor de Lisa made, and I got to be part of. And his daughter, Nero Cosby, got to play the lead, and the Laura J. Actually got to fight her in the film. And there's so many different things in there. And I think you can find the trailer, but you can go, it's in November, and one of our films, iNavi, got selected for a film festival back in Boston, and I hope, you know, to be able to go see it myself. So I'm very excited about that, and I think Murder University got tipped. One of the girls that I know, Teresa Dern, who I'm working with now, it's being shown down in Boston, I think, in the same film festival. So in the circuit, when you start, you know, meeting people and stuff, sometimes the work is shown alongside your work, and that's just a wonderful feeling to see people that you work with, some of their stuff is actually being shown. And I'm supportive of all my fellow independent actors and filmmakers. I'm a big supporter of yours, especially if you get my attention, believe me, I'll sit there and talk about it forever. And, you know, just certain things, and also becoming aware about things on set. You know, when I'm working on set, to be aware of the lighting and everything that's going on, to see what the director's doing, just looking at everything. And now, you know, been getting into acting more and more, this stuff, I look at films a lot different than before I started getting into working on sets. And it's kind of funny that, you know, doing this, just becoming different, learning about films and realizing, yeah, acting and stuff, it's a lot of hard work. People don't realize it. Working on set 12 to 14 hours a day, especially independent filmmakers, they have to work full-time, you know, to put a roof over their heads. They're not like Hollywood where they're getting millions of dollars. They're making it from scratch. And a lot of people, they sit there and they make fun of the independent filmmakers. And they're like, I mean, do they know the hard work that it takes to go into these films? They don't understand. They look down upon independent filmmakers. And that's really wrong in my eyes, because these people, they're trying their hardest. And sometimes on independent film sets, you know, people don't show up. Do you know what they have to do? They have to change the whole schedule around, or they have to improv that day so they can get the shooting in. So for have these people to go through what they have to go through just to finish doing a film, do you know what it takes? It takes a lot of hard work, sweat, and determination. And believe me, you're not going to get anywhere in life if you're sitting your fat butt on a couch eating Twinkies. So it's kind of like, you know, if you're just sitting here and you're complaining about things, you know, nothing is going to change for you. You know, people's happiness, you know, their dreams, it's their thing. Who is anybody in this world to say anything about people's dreams? So on my show, if people ever want to call in at 877-907-7217 and talk about their dreams, they're welcome to. You know, I'm very happy to have people on my show. Anybody that calls in, I'm very honored, and, you know, I'm trying to be dedicated to do maybe more shows than once a week. And even though this is live and everybody's got a busy life, you know, they can always, you know, listen to the archives of the show and listen to it anytime they want, feel free, because I've been looking at the archives and listening to the shows, and like I said, one of the shows that I actually did, it has up to 600 people listening to it. So for having, you know, this show for maybe less than a month, I'm doing pretty good. I've never worked on a radio show before. My sister Charlie, she says, you know, I'll give you a slot on the show and you can run it. Now, I don't have any experience doing this. It's just learning as I go. And I was trying to, you know, I want to try to do really well and have more and more guests on the show and people that I've actually looked up to my whole life. I mean, people like the EMC Monkees. The head monkey is actually one of Jackie Chan's disciples, son, and he's actually the urban ninja. And let me just say out there on YouTube, there's actually this stupid thing about, you know, a fake urban ninja. He's not even a martial artist. He runs. He just has a ninja costume. Dude, you're dumb. You're really dumb, and you're trying to play off urban ninja, and you're not the urban ninja. The urban ninja's in, and he's actually Jackie Chan's disciple. So really stop. You're trying to, you're not funny at all. What he's doing, he's dressing up like a ninja and hiding on people and coming out scaring them. Now, if you really think about it, maybe it's a little bit funny in a real way, but, you know, you don't know. You come out and you're doing that and it's not scripted. How do you know? This guy's going to get the crap beaten out of him, and I don't know. Maybe that'll teach him a lesson. I mean, seriously, if you really think about it, this guy that's the other urban ninja is trying to come off saying he's a ninja when he's just trying to run and hold his hand out. He's just trying to run real fast. That's not a ninja. You're not a martial artist, dude, so give it up, okay? It's like you're trying to be funny, and you're not. Don't think you're the urban ninja because you're not the urban ninja. The urban ninja is actually Jackie Chan's disciple, son, and you can go see he's the head of the EMC Monkees, and that who is the urban ninja, all right? Get over it, dude. You're not funny. You're dumb. And anything like that, let me tell you, if you're trying to scare people, I mean, nowadays, people are nuts. I mean, how do you not know? If that guy, seriously, if he came out to scare me like that, I would have punched him in the head. I mean, seriously, if you really think it, you don't want to be violent. But how do you not know? I mean, this guy's going to come out. He scares old people, the elderly, I mean, girls and stuff like that. He might end up scaring someone who's going to beat the crap out of him. You're talking about a big, huge guy turn around and just beat the crap out of him because he's not a martial artist. He just comes out and jumps on it and he thinks it's funny. So there's people that are crazy out there. If you really think about it, he's not the urban ninja. He's playing off the name, but, dude, you're not a parkour runner. You're running around in a ninja uniform. Come on, really? Seriously? Yeah, you're not. Just don't go there, okay? But anyway, you know, I don't know how much longer I'm going to do the show. I like to bring up, and let's see, I'm going to bring up my brother Crosby Tatum once again. I know he's working I'm just bringing up the film site. Surprise, surprise, which he actually has a good cast for it. And let me just bring it up. I'm trying to multitask here. And actually, let's see if I can go surprise, surprise the movie. And I'm going to bring it up. And you can actually donate this money to this here. Let's see if I can actually go to the site. Give me one moment. Let's see, which site is it on? Let's see. I'm going to go to his page. By the way, if anybody's calling into my show and you just have a number that's not a real telephone number, I'm not going to answer it because I had one joker call in with a non-existent number. If you don't have a real number attached to a telephone, I'm not answering the phone anymore. It's 877-907-7217. I'm not really, I mean, it's all fun and games on my show, but, you know, if you're going to be stupid like that and just have numbers that don't exist just to call in so I can't trace you, I'm not bringing you up on the show. I'm sorry, but if it's going to limit my guests, I'm not having, like, idiot people call my show just to tell jokes and just make fun of it. So anybody that has, like, if it says 77777 or something like that, if you don't have a real number to call on my show, I'm not putting you on as a show just to talk to any of the guests. I'm sorry, but I'm just not having it. But anyway, if you want to call in with a real number to my show, feel free. And it's 877-907-7217. Okay. There was a couple of them. So this one here, now it says project update to new cast members and getting ready for rehearsals. And the updates, that we're growing and we're going strong. We're also getting ready for rehearsals. Our production date is stated for September 30th. With your support, we can achieve some great things and make history in the progress. Are you with us? Let's go. Team Surprise, new content on its way. Look out for it. So there's a couple of the people that are actually coming on board. Mark Allen Wood, who I actually did my first interview with. I actually tackled him in my interview there. Let's see. Going back to the home page of Surprise, Surprise, it's actually on Kickstarter. And they're looking, I guess now, they're looking for $2,500. That's the goal. And here it is. A college student tricks his womanizing best friend into dating an internet girl to save his grades. So it goes, hello, everyone. My name is Crosby Tatum, and I am the co-producer, writer, director, and actor of Surprise, Surprise. And you can click there, and it'll probably take you to a different link. Thank you for taking the time to check out our Kickstarter page. Please take a moment to learn more about our effort to make a cinematic film and consider making a donation towards our project. Now, there was someone in L.A., actually out in California in L.A., complaining about this. I don't know who it was, but I'm telling you, I'm a supporter of Tricepta Studio. And Tricepta Studio, no matter where I go, even the day comes, if I'm working in China in Jackie, you know, working with Jackie Chan, I am Tricepta Studio family member for life. So here I am once again talking about it. Now it says, hello, everyone. My name is Crosby Tatum, and I am the co-producer, writer, director, and actor of Surprise, Surprise. Thank you for taking the time to check our Kickstarter page. Please take a moment to learn more about our effort to make a cinematic film and consider making a donation towards our project. The story, Surprise, Surprise, is a romantic comedy about a socially underconfident college student, which is Crosby Tatum, who tricks his womanizing best friend, JoJo Holland, into switching identities to date a beautiful, charming internet girl, Amber Michelle, who I had on the show, very talented, very beautiful, very smart, Amber Michelle, to save his grades in his scholarship. And it's cut from the mold of Cyrano de Bergerac, in some ways, the King's Speech, Van Wilder, and Napoleon Dynamite. Surprise, Surprise is a film that will bring high stakes, high rewards, and high hilarity into view while entertaining audience worldwide on the misadventures of a young man trying to mask his faults with a lie that completely spirals out of control. And there's a teaser trailer on it, on the site, you can actually view. How does Kickstarter work? People pledge any amount and choose a reward at the end of our 30-day Kickstarter campaign. If the combined total of all pledges for our project meets our $2,500 goal, then the credit cards of those who pledge are charged, and we receive the funds to make our film. If we don't meet our goal, then the money is not withdrawn from your account and no rewards are provided. If we exceed our $2,500 goal, then the extra funds will be used to make our movie even better. Aside from the 5% Kickstarter fee and a 3-5% Amazon credit card processing fee, all fundraise will be used directly in the production of our film. The inspiration behind the film, surprise, surprise, I found this by Crosby, Tatum. I found an interesting statistic online that suggests that over 85% of the world suffers from some form of lacking low self-esteem. When I first read about it, it compelled me because that's at least 85% of the world that has doubts and fears. That's at least 85% of the people in the world who suffer from issues dealing with their own confidence, with how they look, how they act in public, and how they feel inside and out. For myself growing up and to this day, it's always been a tough deal being around people more attractive than I am. To see random beautiful girls smooth over my friends like hot butter pancakes and me feeling underconfident, nervously trying to talk to the opposite sex with the fear of rejection always hanging above my head, always seemed to get the best of me, and I would just stay silent while I would just brood over my emotions. Hence the reason why me and my partner choose to write Surprise, Surprise and tell an interesting perspective of my life and the main character who's afraid to talk to women because he fears that women aren't attracted to him. Our hope is that our movie will help others who suffer from low self-esteem become more confident, more open, more sociable and honest to those around them, and we hope that they can be themselves no matter who is around. Our goal, we're looking to raise $2,500 to help our production, secure talent and crew for production, secure equipment, rentals, purchases, permits, location, and food costs. We have some exciting rewards to offer you, including IMDb.com producer credits to start at $100, be included in our film, even host a screening at your location. It shows the cast there. The music you hear in our Kickstarter campaign video is exclusively produced by Crosby Tatum and JoJo Holland, a.k.a. Laz and Cat and Cartel with Lee Wilson. Call me. Other ways you can help. Please share our dream and our goals with your family and friends via Twitter. Don't forget to hashtag Surprise the Film, Facebook, Google, and your website, your blog, your email, your podcast, radio show, yep, right here, TV show, everywhere, anywhere you can. Tweet, Facebook, anything to spread the word. Pledge a gift for a family or friend member and get them involved and help us make Surprise. If you have an apartment, a bar or club, a nice restaurant, a roller skating rink, and or a screening room in the greater Boston area, Massachusetts area, we can use to shoot for half a day or a few days, please let us know. And I actually, there's more people that have written on comments on there, but one of the things by, which goes by Shelley F., if there are more people like Crosby, it might bring back better the sheer enjoyment of watching a film. So that is for Surprise, Surprise. If you'd like to contact Crosby, look up Crosby Tatum, T-A-T-U-M, and there's actually the Surprise, Surprise film page on Facebook. So you can actually get in touch with them via Facebook if you want to help out become part of the show. Now, I only have about 11 more minutes left, and once again, if you miss the show live, it's okay because it's archived and you can listen in at the comfort of your own home, you know, my radio show. Let's see. Once again, I like to play two songs left in the time. This is Still by Crosby Tatum by Laz and Cat. I actually was in the video, and I'm going to play it once again. Here we go.
Yeah. Laz Ritz. Cat a P. Miss Smith and Envy. For the little 9, y'all. Yeah. Check this out. Yeah. Triceptus Studio. Ha. Yeah, yeah. Yo, chillin' in the club, toastin' it up, having some fun, just enjoying the love. I saw you walking by looking all upset. That was a cue for me, just the end of the set. To take you from your low, bring you to your high. Tell you positive things like how you so fly. After the club, meet me at the ride. We'll go to the beach, count the stars in the sky. In the meantime, tell me about your nine. You're the finest thing that's dressing all wide. Clothes you got on is a major turn on. Me looking at your mind is an instant on. Yeah, go on. It's the way how you touching me, sending me a vibe right through my body. You're so attractive and I'm so addictive. Yeah, that's something different, I'm dying to get with it.
Ooh, I like the way you always touching on me. Ooh, I like the way you put yours on my body. Ooh, I like the way you always on my mind. Ooh, I like the way how you do it every time. You just make me feel
prime time player, used to chew girls up like now and later. Used to have 10 shorties all up in the jazz. Used to bang them all out like they never really had. I was going buck wild, I really didn't care. Had the blinged up loops plus the line up here. So fresh, so clean, y'all can help to stare. Living like Liberace where I kept to stare. Till I saw you, you opened up my eyes. The way you showed me love, it was death a surprise. Never ever met a girl who kept it so right. Never ever met a girl who matched my left or right. Now it's just me and you, let's play one on one. What you playing for, she said, I said for your heart. Accept the invitation, let's have some fun. From the nighttime sky to the early morning sunlight.
How can I approach you on this? You make my whole heart to flip. When you're near me, I get chills. Without you around, I'm going ill. I'd probably die if you were mine. Fuck you for murder, you're a crime. Looking in your eyes, I feel I'm fine. Let's do this now, don't waste no time.
Once again, because it's the end of the two-hour mark here, I want people to feel the epic feel of this song. It's called Battle Song, and I think it might be going into the film that I'm working in called Falcare. And if you know what epic films are, you'll totally understand and get the feel for it. And this is how I'd like to close the show. You know, if you're a fighter, you know, if you have that heart in you, you know, as an underdog, and you're transformed into something, and once again, to let people know, when I was little, I looked at the Wonder Woman show in front of me on the TV set. I wanted to be Wonder Woman. About 25 years later, here I am preparing to be one of the leads in a film where I'm going to be doing stunts and more fights. And riding on a horse, I'm taking lessons, and it's one of those epic battle type of films. It's an independent film called Falcare. The mastermind behind the whole shabam, Hora Zakora Deliza, and his wife Sonari is singing the song. So once again, when you hear the song, you'll get a feel for what our film is about. And I do believe everybody that's part of the film Falcare, we're all putting our heart and soul into this, our blood and sweat, and everything is going into this film, the home unicorn Kovia family. So here we go once again, Battle Song.
To my aid and make my turn.